Hi, Jesse. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So tell us about your organization, where you're located, and what you do.
So I work with Refresh Appalachia, which is a branch of the Coalfield Development Corporation. We're based in southern West Virginia. So we work primarily in three counties, but we source from all over southern West Virginia. And Refresh is the agricultural branch of Coalfield. And so the purpose of Coalfield is to revitalize the economy in southern West Virginia. And so Refresh does the agricultural work with that. So farmer training, a little bit of production, as well as aggregation and distribution of farm products.
So talk a little bit about why it is that your organization exists. I'm sure, you know, listeners are generally familiar with the coal mining and decline and problems in West Virginia, but can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, so as the coal industry has shifted out of West Virginia for a number of reasons, both sort of environmental policy as well as just the fact that there's not a lot of easily accessible coal left. That's left miners without jobs. That's left folks that are in like the support industries without jobs, you know, teachers and other, you know, hospital workers, things like that. Everything, as the community starts to shrink, those jobs disappear as well. And so along with that, there was a big sort of outpouring. There's a lot of young folks who are leaving West Virginia because there's not a lot of, or there weren't a lot of jobs left. Sort of the same thing that's happened in a lot of rural America is happening in Appalachia. And so Coalfield and Refresh have kind of gone in, not to fix it necessarily, but sort of to fill that gap and to provide some other options aside from leaving the state.
So what are some of those economic and social impacts that your organization is having in those communities?
So for Refresh, one of the big things we do is farmer training. So we take folks who, like I said, were displaced from the coal industry, or just young folks who are finishing high school and maybe aren't quite ready to go off to like a big land grant university, but they wanna go to college. And so we have a system. It's 33, 6, and 3. So 33 hours of paid work a week, 6 hours of education that's done through Southern Community and Technical College, and then 3 hours of professional development a week. And all of that is covered by their stipend. And so that gives them some access to farm training. It gives them access to education as well as that professional development. So even if they decide not to go into agriculture as their full-time position, it gives them something to do as well as gives them that training, those opportunities for training.
Backing up a little bit, what are some of the impacts this will have on climate change and on the greater environment beyond just localized in West Virginia?
Well, it's an excellent question, and that's one thing that I'm excited to be working with Refresh, because one of the things that I've noticed, so I grew up in West Virginia, but I spent a few years out here in the West working on regenerative cattle operations. And one thing that I've noticed is that you can be a lot harder on the land in Appalachia because it's a non-brittle environment than you can be out here. And so a lot of the focus of producers on soil health and on carbon sequestration hasn't been happening there quite as much. It has been with the idea of forestry and forests as carbon sinks, but not really agricultural land, because you don't have to. So here you have to be really careful with the land, or it'll turn into a desert really quickly. There, if you damage it, you leave it alone for a couple years and it heals itself. So I think that as more folks from Refresh, not just myself, but I'm trying to send people out here to learn from the folks out here out west, learn about the ability of livestock and just the ability of soil as a carbon sink. I think it'll improve a lot. But so far, that's not really carbon sequestration and climate change isn't our focus as much as it is the human kind of resource. In the area. So
right on. I think it'd be really cool to turn a big carbon producing region into a carbon sequestering region, but I understand you have to move a few steps at a time.
Yeah, and I don't actually know. My focus is not in forestry, but I would really be curious to know just how big of a carbon sink Appalachia is because of the amount of trees. You know, we're in hill country that you can't, you know, if you cut down all the trees, you have a lot of soil loss and issues, and that has happened in the past. But I would really be curious to see just leaving forest land, like actually how much carbon Appalachia is sequestering without us really doing much. But yeah, it would be very cool to see it and to see the ability of livestock, especially to heal the landscape that coal and other resource extraction has damaged over the years.
So how has the approach your organization has taken as far as focusing on community health and soil health and things like that, how has that helped you to address difficult issues like climate change in a fossil fuel based economy region?
So if you use the word climate change with folks in Appalachia, and not just in Appalachia, and folks in rural places everywhere, that's a very touchy subject. But if you talk about weather patterns, so this summer we had a really, really dry end of the summer, and our hay production was really low, and there were actually folks who were feeding hay as early as like September this year, when typically you can get your last cutting of hay in September. And you could really see the difference in management on the properties that had been using, even if they didn't have the language for regenerative management, the folks who had been doing rotational grazing and doing these practices were still grazing grass, you know, as long as we usually do. And so if you sort of put it in terms of like, yeah, did you, you know, it's like, yeah, I've been rotating cattle, so I don't need to buy as much hay. And it's sort of in the economic terms that way. And then anything else as well, water and on a lot of the ridgetop places, people are having to haul water in, and they have to do that a lot. But it's, you know, if you talk about, you know, your well's drying up and you're having to source water, at my hometown, due to also a leak in the local the reservoir where we get our water, we were under a state of emergency because there like literally was no water, and so people were having to pull it in from even further out of town. And so if you sort of put it in a problem solving light and you don't use the kind of buzzwords that people are hearing on the media, and you're just like, yeah, you know, if you do this, then when this happens again, you're going to be more resilient, or it's not going to impact you quite as hard. That is because people in Appalachia are very intelligent and they pay a lot of attention to those sorts of things. I think a lot of it because of economic need. If you are having to buy water, or if you're having to buy hay for your stock, or feeding your winter hay, like that's a big thing. And so folks are paying attention, and I think they're starting to see it. And hopefully as they see an answer to the problems too, practices will start to shift.
That's really exciting stuff. Well, thank you so much for the work that you're doing and for taking the time to talk with us.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoyed it. And I am excited to get the word about Refresh and the work that we're doing out into the world.
Yeah. So if folks are interested in learning more, how can they find your organization?
So you can find us. We're on social media, Refresh Appalachia. We also are refreshappalachia.com or coalfielddevelopment.com. Either one of those, you can learn more about what we do.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.